church. And so sometimes that's what worship is. Singing gets our heart prepared so we can focus on who he is and what he's done in our lives. This song talks about, somebody needs to be reminded today, because I wasn't going to do this song, but it was in my spirit. Somebody needs to be reminded today, don't trust in what you see, but trust in who you know.
All right.
Trust in who you know. Come on, guys. Trust. He didn't create you to worry. You weren't made to fear, but you were made to worship. So this song reminds us not to worry, but to trust. You know what, sing on with me. You'll catch on to it, though. Let's meditate on it. The words are right in front of us. Take it home and meditate on it all week long. So why am I worried? Why am I stressed out about this? Am I trusting? I know what the doctor said, but am I trusting him? I know what the God said.
He did not create me to worry. You did not create me to fear, but you created me to worship daily. So I'm a living all right here. Help me say yes.
You did not create me to worry.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Let's get into the Word of God. We know it's getting a little warm out here. And we don't want to keep you out here for a prolonged period. So let's get into the Word of God in the book of Joshua. Joshua, the fifth book of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Joshua chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 1 through 14. Joshua chapter 2. Verses 1 through 14, Joshua, the fifth book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Test 1, 2, all right. I should move back a little bit more. All right. Then Joshua, it reads, beginning at verse 1, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, sent two men as spies secretly from Shittim, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and entered to the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab and rested there. But it was told to the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, men from the sons of Israel have come here to spy out the land." And the king of Jericho sent word to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to spy out all the land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. It came about when it was time to shut the gate at dark that the men went out. I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them and the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. So the man pursued them on the road to Jordan, to the crossing places. And as soon as those who were pursuing them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now before the spies lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the man, I know that the Lord has given you the land and that the terror of you has fallen on us. And all the inhabitants of the land have despaired because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. When we heard these reports, our hearts melt, and no courage remained in anyone any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord, since I have dealt kindly with you, that you also will deal kindly with my father's household, and give me a pledge of truth, and spare my father and my mother and my brothers and my sisters and all who belong to them, and save our lives from death. So the man said to her, our life for yours. If you do not tell this business of ours, it shall come about when the Lord gives us this land that we will deal kindly and faithfully with you. Amen. We bless the Lord this morning. Bless the hearing and reading and obedience to his word. Amen. We want to call this message, or entitle it, Rahab, the Hall of Famer. Rahab, the Hall of Famer. We want to give a different sort of a take on the name of Rahab. I just want to give her that the title, because her resume was always a little different. All the way through scripture, we found that Rahab is called, especially in the King James, Rahab the harlot. That resume followed her. Can you imagine going in for a job and they ask you what was your previous occupation and where you worked at, and you had to put down harlot, that you basically exchange your favors for finances, and you made your comfort a commodity, and you were known for that. That even my brothers and sisters, that we go through the whole, we know in these scriptures, that when you look at chapter 2, and we're going to look over in chapter 6, I think, later on, when you look at chapter 2 and chapter 6, and in the book of Hebrews, and in the book of James, and in the book of Matthew, both Old Testament and New Testament, whenever Rahab is mentioned, Rahab is called the harlot. Strange, strange, strange. How would it be to have to take that name with you everywhere you go, and all the time that you go there? How strange that would be. Rahab, the harlot. That's a resume. And you know how it is. When you go to a job, you have to fill out an application. And if you got background, negative background, they ask you about it. So she'd always have to put on an application. That word that was disrespected and called a harlot. But I want to tell you this morning, I said, because I wondered, why all the way through scripture do they keep calling Rahab a harlot? Out of all the things they call, I mean, I can understand when you first met her, but in the New Testament, after they know all that God done for her and how they saw her change, why did they still kind of call her a harlot? Couldn't they change it? Like, you know, they changed some of the other names in the Bible. Why did they have to leave? They changed Jacob to Israel. They changed, but why did all the way through scripture you have to read Rahab the harlot? A resume. That's her resume. But I'm glad God puts that there, I think. Because I believe all scripture is inspired by God. And God was in control of those that wrote it. So they would write exactly what he wanted written down on the page. And I think he leaves that there for us because he wants you to know. He wants me to know. He wants all of us to know. You can't go so far down that God can't lift you. You can't do so much wrong that God can't straighten it out. God is able, amen, to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. That's the kind of God I serve. One of my favorite songs says, thought I was too far gone, done too much wrong. But he rescued me. And that's what happened in the story of Rahab. The story of Rahab is what I call an R-rated study. I don't call it R-rated because of her background or what she used to do. But I call it an R-rated story because it's a story of redemption. It says that God can take anybody from any place and make them somebody who he can use in his kingdom. When others looked at Rahab's resume and looked at her application, they saw harlot and they said, oh, no, we're going to have to find a better place than this. But God is different. God looked at it. Now imagine God look at me and say, okay, let me look at her resume. Let me look at her resume and see if I can use her. This is the God of the universe. This is our Father in heaven. And he looks at it and he sees the harlot. That's what I've been looking for. Because God looks not at what you are when he gets you, but what you can be when he finished with you. I'm glad he didn't look at what I was when he found me, but he looked at what he could do through me.
Yes, sir.
Ain't that good? That's good news for somebody out here. Yes, I'm going to tell you, you ain't too far gone. Yes, amen. He's still rolling stones away. You can still be used by God. Yes. Man, the story of a girl. And she had a visitor come in the house, one of the friends of her parents, and he was looking at all her beautiful dolls. She had all these beautiful dolls in the house, and he was looking at all the beautiful dolls. And the man asked, which one of these dolls do you like the most? She looked around, she turned around and went to the closet. And out of the closet, she said, this is the one I love the most. And he looked at the doll, and the doll's hair was falling out, and one of her arms was coming off, and she was just barely hanging on by a little material on the neck. And he said, Why is that the door you love the most? He said, because that's the door that needs my love the most. Oh, I'm glad one day, in spite of my resume, God said, yes, he done blew a whole lot of ways, a whole lot of time, but yet that's the one that needs my love the most. And he's saying that to you and to me and everyone that's present here today, I'm glad he loves me in spite of my past and the issues in my present and whatever I face in my future. That's the kind of God I serve. Thank you, God. Thank you, our worst Savior. Because somebody had closed the book, said he ain't going to never get no better, he ain't going to never be no good, he ain't going to never amount to nothing. But I'm glad that God don't close the book on you. He don't close the book on you. See, she had a resume. But not only did she have a resume, but I want to tell you, she is a perfect, there's a lot of Old Testament stories that are pictures of New Testament doctrine or teaching. Rahab is a picture of redemption, how God can transform a life. Rahab gives us that photo when you look at her. Let's go to the story and see what happened. Kind of read it. I'm going to kind of break it down a little bit. Rahab comes. There are two spies. Joshua sends out two spies to do reconnaissance and to spy out the promised land, especially Jericho. Amen. Because they're about to enter Jericho because God has given them Jericho. He's already given it to them. All they need to do is just go possess that which God has already given to them. Now notice, this time he sends out two spies. The first time, you remember when they were going into the promised land, he sent out 12 spies. And 10 came back with a bad report. And 2 came back with a good report. Because they were looking at different things. The 10 were looking at the giants. And they said, we can't do it. The people are too big. They're too great. We can never win. We can never win a battle when they're too great. Because the 10 were looking at the giants. But the other two, Joshua and Caleb, they weren't looking at the giants. They were looking at the grapes. I wonder, are you the kind of person that look at the giants? Or are you the kind of person that look at the grapes? Because the grapes said that the land was fertile and fruitful. A land, as the Bible describes it, flowing with milk and honey. The grapes were so big, it said it took two men to bring one batch back with them. Oh, Lord, that's how fertile and fruitful the land. God is saying, this is what I'm, and they see Joshua and Caleb, they realize, God said, hey, this is how I want to bless you. And Joshua and Caleb said, oh yeah, we can do it. We can do this thing. But the other 10, they weren't looking at the grapes, they were looking at the giants. I want to tell you this morning, always look at the grapes, don't look at the giants. Let God handle the giants, and you can bring home the grapes. She said, I'm just going to send two this time. I'm just going to send two. I'll do better with two. So these two, they came into Jericho. And there was a house built into the wall of Jericho. All this, like, many of the great cities there were guarded by a big wall around that separated so the enemy couldn't get in. And they could fight from the top of the walls and defend their city. So the wall of Jericho was a great wall. They said a chariot could get on top of the wall and drive around the wall. That's how thick it was. But there was also a house in the wall, and that was the house of Rahab. Rahab had a house in the wall. Let me say one more thing. about Rahab. Not only does the Bible describe her as a harlot, but her name, Rahab, the first two letters, R-A, come from the God Ray. God Ray, he was the sun god. He was the fierce god, the angry god. And that was for, so not only did she had two things against her. Number one, amen, she was a harlot. Number two, amen, she was a pagan worshiper. Yet, God got through her. I don't think it's by chance that these fellows showed up at Rahab. I think it was a divine appointment. Or I thank God for divine appointments. Divine appointments will come even when you're not thinking about God, and all of a sudden a divine appointment will show up at your job, on the doorstep, at your house, in your school, amongst your friends, on the playground, at the get together. God may have a divine appointment for you. Sometimes he'll go out of the way. He'll go out of the way. Like he did, amen, for that woman that was sitting on the way. He went out of his way because he said, I must need go through Samaria because I got a divine appointment with a woman that need me because her life is empty. And he was the form to fill it up. So I think that the reason why they went to Rahab's house is it was destined. God had a divine appointment with Rahab that way. I'm glad God would come after us even when we don't come after him.
Yes, yes.
But you know something about Rahab? We always talk about the negative part, but there were some great things about Rahab also. Let me see. Now, when we heard, let's go down to about verse 9. And said to the man, I know the Lord has given you the land. She didn't say, I guess this is. I figure God has given y'all land. She said, I know that the Lord has given you the land. And the terror has fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land have despaired because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water in the Red Sea before when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites. Then verse 11 goes on saying, when we heard these reports, our heart melted. I've already read it. Now, please, swear to me by the Lord, since I have dealt kindly with you, you also will deal kindly with me. Now, this word kindly, remember the Old Testament written in Hebrew, then later on it was translated so we could understand it. But this word kindly is the Hebrew word hesed, which means tender love and kindness. It is also a word that describes the covenant God relationship with his people. Now, also, let me see. Okay. You see the word Lord with a capital L. Whenever you see Lord with a capital L, that's talking about the covenant God. That's Jehovah. Yahweh, the covenant God, the God who had a covenant with Israel. Now, why this is important is because basically what Rahab is saying, you are the covenant keeping God. Now, in that word covenant, you can kind of hear the word its root word is cover. Covenant has a root word in it, cover. And, amen, he says, I'm going, basically what Rahab was asking for is for the God of Israel's covering.
Yes, yes.
Listen, Rahab said, what I'm going to do, I got y'all here. I'm going to cover for you.
Right, right.
I'm going to hide you. And she actually hid them and covered them up with flax on the roof, and said they wasn't there. Said, I think they went up into the mountain. You go look for them over the hill. She covered for them and covered them up. Now she said, okay, listen, since I, hey, what I need y'all to do, since I'm covered for you,
right,
I need you to talk to the God, because you Israelites and he's your God, and can y'all, you and God cover me. I know y'all so powerful. There's such a great army that, hey, y'all gonna destroy all of Jericho. All I need you to do, because I've been kind and I've covered you, that when you come and destroy Jericho, can you cover me? Amen. Can you keep my father and keep my mother and keep my brothers and keep my sisters covered? Because I'll cover you. I know just because I'm going to cover you, I'm already inside. But I sure wish that you'll cover me when the destruction comes. And the spies say, okay, we will cover you. Listen, she trusted that the God, even though she was a pagan and one part of Israel, she trusted that the God of Israel could cover her. And that's where faith started. She was faithful. Rahab the faithful. That's what we need. We can call her that. Amen. You don't have to call her Rahab. The other thing, you can call her Rahab because she had faith that God could cover her and save her when all life is falling apart. Can you keep me? But I'm glad she didn't say, just keep me. Because she would kind of see something. When you really have faith in God, it begin to change on the inside. And you begin to care about more than just yourself. She said, I'm not just me. Amen. But I want you to, amen, my whole family, my father, amen, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, everybody that live in my household, my servants. Can you bless, amen? Can you just save us and cover us when the storm is coming? Cover us. Because you're a covenant-keeping God. You're a God. You're a God. I know y'all God. And I know how your God works. If your God promises something, if your God promises to cover me, I know I'm covered. And y'all represent him. So I'll take your word for it if you'll give me your word. And the spies say, all right, we got you covered. We got you covered. When we come back and destroy Jericho, don't worry about it. Ain't nobody in your family going to be harmed or hurt. Listen, but this is what you got to do. You got to bring everybody to your house.
Yeah.
Rahab, they got to be, they can't be out in the streets. They all have to be at your house. Bring your mama, daddy, cuz, whoever you want to say, tell them they got to get in the house. Because what we going to do, what we want you to do, when you get them all in the house, what you want to do, I want you to get a scarlet rope. There's a scarlet rope. And I want you to hang it out the window. And when we see that scarlet rope hanging out the window, we'll know that's your house, and we'll protect it when we come to destroy everything else. Now listen, y'all, listen. A scarlet rope, say, I see the scarlet. Scarlet means red. Scarlet is red. If I see the scarlet rope hanging out, you're covered. We'll pass over you. Don't they remind you of something else? Don't they remind you of each? And they say, hey, what are we going to do? If you just put blood on the doorpost. Blood above the door, when the death angel comes, amen, your house will be safe. Now, since Rahab didn't have no goat, you know, she didn't have no sacrifice. She said, Rahab, we know you ain't got that, but you got a scarlet thread you can put out. That scarlet that you wear sometimes when you want everybody to see you, hang it out the window.
Yeah.
And we'll know in your house, and we'll pass over. Because that's that scarlet thread that came down, the scarlet rope came down. It was a representative of the blood. They're like the blood in Egypt. Amen. They passed over. When you saw that red, that rope, said that she didn't have no blood. She had to use a rope, and it passed over. She passed. Do you understand that?
Yeah, yeah.
She had a red rope in the red light district.
Right.
Had a red rope in the red light district, and God and the children of Israel, when the destruction of Jericho came, and the walls fell, this is so amazing about it. When, because remember how the wall fell down? They walked around the wall 13 times. Wait a minute, Pastor. 13 times? I thought they walked around 7 times. No, they walked around the wall 13 times. So 13 ain't for bad luck, because 13 will bring the walls down. They walked around 7 days. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Now on the 7th day, that's 7. But on the 7th day, they didn't walk around 1 time. They walked around 7 times. So the first time was the only one you count. Now you got to count the other 6. 6 and 7 is 13. They walked around 13 times, and the walls came tumbling down. Wait a minute. Rahab's house was made into the wall. Rahab's house was made into the wall. That's why when they closed the gates, Rahab was still able to go up on the roof, uncover the spies, put them down, and they had the gate closed, but Rahab's house was in the wall, so Rahab opened the window. And they went out the window. So Rahab's house was in the wall. You know, one good thing about that, I tell you, when the gate comes, won't God open the window? Well, when God is on your side, they can close the gate, and God will still open the window to get you where you're supposed to be. But her house, and she let them down the window. And they went off and hid in the hills like she had told them, so they couldn't be found. And there's that red rope down. Now, but the thing I'm trying to show you is when the walls came tumbling down, how, since her house was in the wall, how did Rahab survive? Because her house was in the wall. And the wall came tumbling down. But you know, that it was God is so great. That God had a selective demolition. And the wall fell down everywhere but Rahab's house. Ain't God good? Her house is in the wall. The wall fall down, and the only thing still standing was Rahab's house. Oh, somebody, boy, if you just think about it back over your life, you ought to got your shadow right there. Because there have been times in my life when it seemed like everything in my life was falling down. But I'm glad when everything else in my life was falling down, God was on my side. And because God was on my side, when everything else in my life was falling down, I was able to say, I'm still standing. I'm not standing because of how good I am. I'm standing because of how good God is. Oh, here, the whole wall was found down. Amen. I can understand what the song means now. Through many dangers, toils, I've already come. What was it that brought you? Grace. Woo! Grace saved her in her home. And everybody in it went, now they look around them, everything else is gone. And she's still standing. There have been some times, sometimes I think about where I came from, and the folk that live on the street that I lived at, and a lot of them are in jail or dead, but I'm still standing. Woo! Hallelujah. How did you make it? How did you make it? It was grace. God's grace. Amen. I tell everybody, the only swag I have is I was saved with amazing grace. I wish I had somebody up here. Amen. God is so good. God is so great. God is so merciful. His grace saved me just like it did for Rahab. Should have been gone. But I'm still standing. I'm still here. I mean, he still got work for me to do. He still got purpose for me. She said, God, will you cover me? Will y'all remember me? And yeah, I'm glad that Israel, hey, and Israel, God, that's just amazing. And some people say, I don't know, God. That just seems so far-fetched. That just seems so far-fetched, Pastor, having all the other walls fall down and have her wall still, that part of her still, that just don't seem right. But don't try to figure God out. Just trust him. Amen. I'm trying to tell you, if he can give Jonah a hotel underwater, to keep him safe, won't that same God keep you? He's able. Amen. He's able to do it if he's promised it to you. Listen. This is what I like about it. She came through. Now she moves. She goes and joins the children of Israel. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, I think it is. That's the only scripture I didn't give you. Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. There's a genealogy of all of Jesus' mothers and grandmothers. Now, if you start at Jesus and go back 35 generations, Rahab was Jesus 35 times. He was Jesus' great, great, great. He said that 35 times, his mother, grandmother. You find Rahab. And she married to Salmon. Now, I want to tell you about Salmon. Most tradition, even though it's not in scripture, not written in scripture, so we can't say it's absolutely true, but most traditions say Salmon was one of the spies. Salmon was one of the two spies. And I guess, hey, when he saw Rahab and understood her faith, something attracted him to Rahab. So one of the spies, one of those two spies that came up and she talked to one of them as a good possibility became her husband. Won't God do it? A divine appointment. She got more than she was looking for. Amen. She was just looking for covering of a household. She didn't only give him covering of a household, but she gave another kind of covering. God always gives you more than you ask for. Because he's a generous God. Oh, he's a God that is blessed beyond understanding. Well, let me get to the end of this. Let me get to the end of this. When you go back, we don't have time to look at this now. But when you go back and look at this thing, I just want to put this out there. She said, with the same father, mother, brothers and sisters. But now, when Israel consented, go back. When they said, okay, we'll save you people, and they started counting. If you go back and read it carefully, the sisters are left out. He said, Father, you can take care of your father, sister. But what happened to the sisters? But I'm glad sometimes it takes a sister to look out for another sister. Because she said, hey, I need you to save my sister. The man didn't even put sisters in it. The man didn't care one way or another about the sisters. But she said, hey, I'm looking out for my sister. When you save me, can you save my sister? Now, if you're a real sister, you ought to say to God, "You, when you save me, can you save my sister?" Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. I'm glad that God is a God like that. He is an amazing God. So, now look at take out the scripture. Take out the scripture. Now, I told you. Now, look at the James 2. Y'all see that? Y'all got that James 2 on y'all second page? We already see that she's great, 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 35 times, said it 35 times, grandmother of Jesus. Amen. Out of her came King David, who was Jesus' ingenious lineage. That's why Jesus could be king. He said, David, I'm going to give you somebody going to sit on your throne forever. That was talking about Jesus. That was the Davidic covenant. Now, look at verse 2. James is talking about Rahab. You see, the person is justified by works and not faith alone. In the same way was Rahab, the prostitute, not justified by works also, when she received messages and sent them out by another way. For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith is without works is dead. James uses Rahab as an example of saving faith. Listen, we are saved by faith alone. You know, when we have faith in God, that's enough to save us. But when you have saving faith, it's never alone. There's always a work. Rahab had faith. That's why she hid the spies. Faith always has something that accompanies. If it's true saving faith, then it has something that can, it has, it's evidenced by the change in a person's life. It's evidenced by how you live your life when it's true saving faith. Sometimes people are saying, just come to church, and they get a little happy with the song. Sometimes they get a little happy with the preacher, and they feel a little move of the spirit, and they come and unite with the church. But the question now, you can see why we need discipleship, because they need to be disciples and learn more, because if not, a lot of times, amen, that faith burns out. And their salvation is questionable because we don't see them no more. We don't see no works. We don't know if it was real faith or dead faith because we don't see no works. But the reason why you disciple somebody is to be sure they have the kind of understanding of following Christ that it ends up in works. James is saying, look at Rahab. She's an example of faith. I'm coming to one that was a harlot, but now the writer of scripture says, look at her picture. This is, if you got real faith, this is how it looks. And you would think that some great religious person was on the picture, but it's Rahab, the one that had the bad resume. She's the one on the picture, and she's an example of faith. But now let me look at that last scripture there. Hebrews 11:31. By faith. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 is what we call the Faith Hall of Fame. You know, I've got like Basketball Hall of Fame and Baseball Hall of Fame, Football Hall of Fame, other kind of Hall of Fames, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Blues Hall. When you're there, you're there for what you did, your accomplishments. But it's different in Hebrews chapter 11, you don't get to the Faith Hall of Fame because of your accomplishments. You get to the Faith Hall of Fame because you had faith and God used you. And in the Faith Hall of Fame, in chapter 11, verse 31, we find that by faith, the prostitute Rahab did not perish along with those who were disobedient. After he had welcomed the spies in peace, she did not, because she had faith in the God of Israel and asked for his covering, amen. Not only did she survive, not only was she rescued, not only was she saved, but her whole household and everybody in her house was saved. God can do amazing things in us. Regardless of our backgrounds.
Amen. It's true, preacher. It's true.
So don't, if you're here, humble. humble yourself. Don't think you're all it. If it wasn't for God. I think that sometimes why we're so hard on other people, because we forget where we come from. If it wasn't for God, we wouldn't be there. Because if we really want to be honest with ourselves, all of us got some Rahab in us. All of us got some scandals and some skeletons. Oh, I wish I had. And some sordid places in our life. But God looked at the scandal and the skeleton and the sordid areas of our life and said, that's all right. I can take you where you're at. Because that's where you started. Amen. That's the one that needs my love the most. But if I get you in my hand, if you put your trust in me, if you believe in me, I'll cover you with my blood. So, that's the only reason why I go to heaven, because I'm covered with his blood. And when the Father looks at me, he can't see my sin, because my sin has been covered because of Christ dying on Calvary's cross. On Calvary's cross, and paying the price for my sin. I'm covered. I got that New Testament covering that comes from the cross. Jesus paid it all. All to him all. Sin had left the crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. He covered me, but not only did he cover me, he transformed me. Yeah, he'll take you where you're at. I don't care where you're at. That's what redemption is. Redemption says wherever you are, whatever you're going through, whatever you're done, God said, I'll take you. And I use you for my glory. My goodness. What a great God.
Yes.
What a great God we serve. He changed me.
Yes.
That's the kind of God. If you're here today, as I close this word, you need that change. Maybe you need salvation change. You need to be changed from being spiritually dead to spiritually alive by putting your faith in Christ and what he done on the cross. Or maybe you're already a Christian. Amen. But some of that sordid stuff and the stuff you had, the skeletons you had in the closet and the scandalous stuff is stalking you. Because sometimes your past will stalk you to catch up with you, wanting to get you back. And that's why you got to stay close to Jesus. Amen. So, amen, Jesus can handle the one that's stalking you. Because if you're not close enough to him, if you have that intimate relationship with him, the stalker will catch you off guard. And you'll find yourself going back to doing that God already has saved you from. My goodness. But I'm glad he's such a great God. He come after you. Even when you blow it, he'll come after you and bring you back to the fold. Hallelujah. He's a good shepherd that comes after his sheep. Put the sheep on the shoulder and bring it back. Oh, God. Oh, God. It's like, amen, he showed it to them in that parable about the prodigal son. The son was lost. Amen. Lost his way. He's gone home. But then he came to himself. Oh, Lord, he'll make you come to yourself. I ain't got no business where I'm. I ain't got no business doing the things I'm starting back doing. I ain't got no business going to the places that I'm starting back to go to. I ain't got no business. The thoughts I used to have are beginning to come back. That's because you haven't got too far from the Savior. And your stalker has caught you. But I say, God, I know you saved me. I know you changed me, but I'm too far from you. Take me back to the place where I first found you. I need to be revived. I need to get back on your program. I need to get started back being who you made me to be. Oh, God, I know. We've been out on that pandemic thing. And we haven't had a lot of community like I should. And sometimes I didn't get to look into the podcast. And God, I just don't have the zeal. I just don't have the fire I used to have. I just don't have the joy that I used to have. God, take me back to the place where I first saw you when grace was amazing. Take me back till joy filled my soul. And I couldn't help but to praise you. Take me back. This day is your day. I'm giving us Gabriella gonna bring the song on as the song was being sang. It's your life. If you need him to change your life, if you're lost and need to be saved, or if you're saved but you don't want to stray and you want to come back home, add the song is being sung. They say, Lord, I need you in my life. Come back. I want to come back. I want to go back to the place. I need you to change some things in me. He's available to do that today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Think about it. If you're out there, you're lost, you don't know Christ, we know we got still social distancing thing. If you need somebody to come and share with you, pray for you, amen. I tell you what you do. When the song kind of coming to the end, or when you feel the Spirit moving in you, they cut the lights on. We'll send somebody out to the car. They'll stand 6 feet back and pray for you if you need prayer for it. Amen. Let's cut your lights on. Say, I need somebody to come pray for me, Pastor. I ain't close to God like I used to be. If y'all don't pray, let us raise you. You know how we do it here. Amen. We put the mask on. We'll stand sick and we'll pray for you. We pray for your family. If you're on the podcast, send us a text. We'll get with you.
So that I may worship you. Change me, oh God. Make me more.
Oh, remember this.
Has come over me.
Yes, yes, Lord. Change you and save you. Thank you that he finds us, but he doesn't leave us where he found us. He changes us to be more like him. Oh, thank God for that. Thank y'all for sharing with us, whether you're here in presence on the campus or you're joining us on the podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. Pray that you'll look over those verses of scripture that we shared and just study upon them and let the Lord put them in your heart. James chapter 2, verse 24 through 26 was one of the additional scriptures. James chapter 2, verse 24 through 26. And Hebrews 11 and 31 was another scripture we added to our main text. And also Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. So add those three in as you go back and look at chapter 2 and Joshua and those three scriptures. Amen. And if you haven't had a chance to write them or you're listening, you don't have a pen nearby, you can always text us, text Cheryl, or call us, and we'll get that scripture to you. All right, we're about ready to go. We're going to receive our collection. Thank you for being so generous. Now we want to say, we were intending to have the video today, but we had to be inside to do the video. And we had everybody make reservations until 7 o'clock, I think, for 7 o'clock. Was it Friday?
Yes, sir.
7 o'clock Friday, and we didn't have enough people that had reserved. So some other people came in later. But by then, we had kind of switched the appointments and plans around. So the next time we have, we'll probably be outside again next week, unless you hear from us. If we decide to go inside, you'll hear from us pretty quick between now and in or tomorrow. But don't wait till the last day to get your reservation in. Come on in, and that way, if you come in early, we'll know that we're going to have something. All right, but for right now, we'll probably plan to be outside next Sunday, unless it's rain or something. Thank you for coming today. Thank you for joining us on the broadcast. Thank you for being such wonderful people. Those of you that do choose to come to the inside with us when we have go back inside, I just want to tell you, we're going to do everything we can to keep you safe. That's why we want you to make reservations. We're going to have pods to separate where families can be separated. You have plenty of distance. We're going to open the doors where we have plenty of ventilation, which is an important thing the CDC says. We have a lot of sanitizer for hand washing. We ask people to wear their mask unless you're singing or speaking. Try to have the shortest service we can because we don't want to keep you in there too long, but we do want to enjoy the Lord for a little while. So, and we're going to have air purifiers and all kinds of stuff going on to keep you safe. So we'll do everything we can. And hopefully a lot of you have had your vaccinations. If you haven't, we're not pushing you or pressuring you to do that. But hopefully some of you who have been looking for it have found it. And that helps out a lot, too. So we just want to keep that. We want to kind of give you a few of the things. So maybe to make you kind of feel like it's okay to come if you feel unsafe. All right. We're about ready to go. Thank you again. Let's now get ready for our benediction. Everybody stand where you are. And Zoom Bible study Saturday at 6:30. 6:30. Zoom Bible study Saturday at 6:30. You can get the how to get into that Zoom from Cheryl. Also, amen. We may have, this is a big may. We may have man Bible study. But if we have man Bible study, if we ain't gonna be zooming it. You gotta zoom up to the church. You gotta zoom up to the church and get you a chair. We ain't gonna be zooming it over the thing. Yeah, I think we men can spread out enough that we will be a problem for one another. All right, let's go. Thank y'all. Enjoy your Sunday. Now, let me pray first. God, thank you for what's happening here today, for your spirit, your presence out here and on the podcast. God, there are some seeds that have been planted. Don't let the enemy cause that seed not to take root. God, somebody had in their mind as we shared the word of God, yes, I do need to come back. I kind of strayed a little bit. I'm not as fervent as I used to be. Not as committed as I used to be to you. I want to get closer to you. I feel distance between. So people that were feeling that, God, we that were feeling that, God, just bring us closer to you. All we want is just a closer walk with thee. Oh, God. I mean, especially, God, if there's anybody here that don't know you as Lord and Savior. Oh, God, work in that person's heart and life that they'll surrender and say, all right, God, you've been calling me for a long time. I'm coming home. I want to be your child because I know you've been father. You've been a good father to me, and I want to surrender my life and become one of your followers, one of your disciples. Lead me to the church you want me to be. If it's Bethsaida, that's good. If it's another church, we pray that God, lead them to that other congregation where they can be most used. Thank you for all the blessings you bestowed upon us, for being good and just bringing us to this point in time. Now, Lord, just be with us as we go and bless our day and our week and guide us and lead us and help us to be a blessing to others. Now, to him that's able to keep us and present us without fault, we are for our Father strong. We love God, our Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Speaking of the Holy Spirit, our Comforter. Rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let us say three times, amen, amen, and amen, which means God is true, everything you say, and I'm going to obey it.
Like, I know.